Hello and welcome to episode 25 of the Blue Cup Tools podcast. I'm your host, Francisco Gonzalez, also known as Grunisov, and with me as always...
Hello, I am Ben Chandler, also known as Ben 304 or 304. Hello.
Hello.
How are you, Grunisov? What have you been up to?
I've been up to many things. Can you believe that our podcast is up to 25 episodes? We're like a quarter century old over here. Our podcast is as old as you are.
Yeah, there you go.
As many episodes, but not for long.
No, not until, well, I've got another,
I want to say
12 hours. I got 12 hours and 47 minutes.
There you go.
Although I think I was born at 3 in the morning, so that bumps it up to about 15 hours.
Were you born at 3:04?
Probably.
Probably.
Seems likely. I don't know exact times.
I see. Okay, fair enough.
But you know me, I'm always up early in the morning, so why change that when getting born?
True. I guess you had to start somewhere, right?
Yeah, sure. I don't get up quite so early anymore.
Yes. Anyway, so yeah, this is our podcast, and lots of things have happened. It's been a pretty...
Yeah, what have you been up to?
Oh, not nearly as much as interesting things as you have been up to. I've been playing games, I've been working on my games, the usual stuff.
What games have you been playing?
Oh, okay.
What games have you been playing?
All right, we'll talk about me first, that's fine. Well, I finished Rayman Legends, finally.
How did you find it?
I found it incredibly enjoyable. Although, I have to say, it wasn't as challenging at some points as Rayman Origins was, but... It was definitely a good game. I'm actually kind of curious though, because I know that the whole delay thing, Michel Ancel said that they had used the delay to put in, I don't know, like 60 different levels or something and boss fights and stuff. I'm really curious, because it felt like a fairly long game, but I'm really curious to know what it was that they put in extra due to the delay, because it felt like a complete game, but I kind of felt like missing 60 levels would have made it a significantly shorter experience.
But
I don't know.
Well, Rayman Origins was a surprisingly big game. I was surprised how big Origins was.
Well, I mean, they managed to put in essentially all the levels, except for maybe, I don't know, 10 or so from Rayman Origins into Rayman Legends, just remastered, so.
Maybe they're the 60 ones that they added.
Maybe. Michel Ancel, I know you listen to our podcast. No, you don't.
Yeah.
But let us know.
Anything else you've been playing?
Yeah, I played... I think I mentioned on the last podcast... Yes, I did, that I played Gone Home. I've also been playing God of War Ascension. And for some reason, my lemonade has made my throat scratchy, so you'll have to forgive my blahness. But yeah, I've been playing...
Be healthy like me, drink water.
Well, lemonade is essentially water just with lemon in it.
And sugar.
Yeah, but anyway.
Have you been playing perhaps any beta builds of any upcoming AGS games that are interesting and exciting?
Yes, I have, but... let me finish my PlayStation experience first. I've been playing God of War Ascension. I also have Tomb Raider that I haven't started playing yet, and I just got The Last of Us in the mail today, which I got off of eBay.
Wow, you got games coming left, right, and center, man.
I really do. I've got all of those to play. I've got so many PC games to play. It's not even funny. I have no idea how I'm gonna find time to do it all, but I'll manage.
Quit your job.
Funny you should say that. But first, I've been playing a demo or a beta build of The Samaritan Paradox by Petter Andale Ljungqvist, which I probably just butchered. That's his name. Don't laugh at him. He's Swedish.
I'm laughing at your pronunciation.
That's how you pronounce it, Petter Ljungqvist. He's so good.
I'm laughing at your hesitations.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, I played through it, and it's really, really good. He told me that he was afraid that it was boring. Well, he told me that he thought it was boring. But I disagreed. I think it's an entertaining and an interesting game. It's a bit difficult, and it could stand... I mean, it's obviously an early build. But it could stand to use a few contextual hints. Because right now you have to know exactly what to do to figure things out. But I think it's definitely one to look out for.
Good. I remember playing the demo back when he first released the demo of it quite a while ago. I think it was near the start of this year, I want to say. And I really enjoyed what I played there. It's quite somber and maudlin and very European. And I thought, you know, great graphic style and interesting premise. And I'm interested to see where it goes. So, yeah. Good.
Yeah. And aside from that, like I said, I've been doing a lot of work on my game the past week or so. I spent about 10 hours the other day on sprites for one very important scene and painting backgrounds and stuff like that. And honestly, I've gotten a bit of art fatigue. But today I did character speech animations for about 6 different character portraits. So chugging along slowly but surely. Now, let's focus the attention away from me and let's talk about you, because you've had a big week.
It's been an interesting week, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, I'll say. Starting with the fact that, as you mentioned your advice, you quit your job.
I did. I quit my job on Monday. Well, Dave rang me up on Skype on Sunday. Dave Gilbert from Wedgedi Games, who I've been working for, like, on a sort of freelance basis since 2010, I think. And I'm pretty sure it was 2010. And basically said, hey, I know I've talked about putting you on full time, and I think the time has come to do it. And I was like, oh, okay. So we talked about everything. I'm like, well, you know, I really enjoy working with Dave. I really enjoy working on Blackwell Games, even though Epiphany is the last one. And I think when you look at some of the games that Dave has not only worked on himself, but some of the stuff he's published, like Primordia, Resonance, Gemini Rue, he's published and created, I think, some of the best quality AGS games in the last few years. And I'm like, I want to be a part of that, you know? I'm like, I think I can add something there. So, yeah, I rang my boss on Monday and said, hey, I quit. So I got a couple more half days of sheep wrangling to finish up in a week, I think, and that's it. I'm done. No more blue collar work for me. I'm back to being a white collar worker. After 6 years of being a blue collar worker, I'm back to being a white collar worker again. And I have to say, this last week has been phenomenal. It's been sensational. I'm still trying to work out like a nice work day routine and make sure I'm organized and everything. Yeah, I'm still trying to get a routine happening, because it's all very new, but so far, so good.
I don't know, you seem like you have a pretty good routine established already.
Yeah, I want to make sure it works, you know. You got to have something that you can do every single day.
Sure.
And, you know, I've had a very productive week, I have to say. Sitting at a computer for 8 hours drawing, that's a lot of drawing time, you know. I make sure I have breaks between us. Split it up into 2 hour lots, but you can draw a lot in 8 hours. Like, yeah, it blows you away. At the end of every day, I look at the stuff I send off and I'm like, wow, this is good, man. Blackwell Epiphany is really, really, really coming along. Like, I can't foresee me spending much more time like making it. It's fantastic. And I'm really proud of how the game is. Like, I finally had some time to play it through, and I hadn't played it through in a long time. And I'm like, wow, this is really great. So I'm excited about that.
Good. Yeah, I played a very early alpha when it came out, right after I came back from Australia in late April.
Oh, man, yeah. Like,
that was a really early build, but it was really good, and I watched you play. You shared your screen and showed me, and it was...
Just a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, but still, it's really coming together, and I think I'm really excited for it.
Cool, and you've already voiced your lines in it, and...
Yeah, and they're already in the
game. I have to say, I like the way your character exits. Yeah, I like his exit. It caught me off guard completely. And, yeah,
I wasn't sure.
That's great.
Based on your reaction, I wasn't sure if you enjoyed that or not.
No, I really did enjoy it. I enjoyed it a lot. It's just that it caught me completely off guard, completely by surprise.
Okay, good.
So, I've been playing a few different games. I finished Tomb Raider today, the new Tomb Raider. So it's pretty special. Do you remember? I think they've made it very cinematic. You know, they've made it a lot like a film.
Sure.
In case, I think that. Do you remember the Tomb Raider film they made with Angelina Jolie some time ago.
I didn't see it, but I know of its existence.
Okay. Let me tell you this, because you've just got Tomb Raider. Tomb Raider, the game, as released this year, not the game as released in 1995 by Core Design, I think it was 1995, is a better film than Tomb Raider, the film with Angelina Jolie in it.
Ah,
so there's that, yeah.
That's really
which,
sad.
I mean, isn't really hard. Cause
well, yeah, I guess.
Now, action film, but...
Did you see the Tomb Raider movie with Angelina Jolie?
Yeah, of course I did, man. You know me, I'm a film buff.
Oh, sure, buff. Yeah, sure.
Cheesy action films are my thing, you know. Well, look.
Are they really?
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've just got another crappy vampire film to watch at some point. I can't remember what it's called. Daybreak or something like that. So I'm pretty excited about that. But yeah, so Tomb Raider, it's very cinematic. It's extremely violent and brutal and gory. I was surprised. Like, I wouldn't call myself a Tomb Raider expert, but I've got a few Tomb Raider games, and I've played quite a few. And this is easily the most, like, grim that I've seen Tomb Raider. And, yeah, they've really tried to go with the reboot, to go in that more modern dark tone. It's like, you know. Yeah,
the gritty reboot.
There are parts that make Dishonored seem kind of like bright and cheery. So yeah, I was kind of surprised like at some of the stuff. Man, Lara Croft takes a beating in this game. Like, it was written by a masochist. I think it was written by Rihanna Pratchett. But man, she gets thrown around everywhere. Yeah. So, wow. And usually Lara Croft takes a beating because I'm playing and, you know, I fall off edges because the camera controls don't show me where to go and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, sorry. But this time it's in the cutscenes, man. So,
okay.
But it was a great game. Looks fantastic. Like, visually, it's just stunning, you know, as all modern games are. But, yeah.
Well, yeah, great game. I said it last time and I'll say it again. God of War continues to impress visually. I mean, gameplay-wise, it's more of the same. It's a God of War game. But, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So... But yeah, visually, it's like it's got some of the most crazy sweeping set pieces ever. Like, you're on the back of a giant robotic snake thing, and the camera just pulls back and shows you the scale of, and you're like this little tiny dot on the screen fighting enemies, and then it pushes back in. It's amazing.
Now, when you say scale, was that a pun on reptilian skin?
Not an intentional one, but now that you point that out, yeah.
Good.
Great.
Good. I think with God of War, and I've been playing a little bit of Batman Arkham City again because I've picked it up because, hey, I have weekends now. and I have to say, with Tomb Raider, I always hated the combat in Tomb Raider. I play Tomb Raider to explore tombs. You know, I play it to raid tombs. I'm not about shooting stuff. And this new one is really, really action-focused, maybe more than Legend, which is a worry. But I think it pulls it off like the gunplay is a lot smarter than I think I've ever played in a Tomb Raider game. But going back to Batman made me realize that Batman is still far superior in combat. But yeah, Tomb Raider, they've improved the combat a lot. So my biggest gripe was you don't get... Yeah, that's true. But yeah. But my biggest gripe was that you don't get to raid that many tombs, and that most of them are pretty much optional. Mm-hmm. And you know how Tomb Raider... It's all about big tombs filled with lots and lots of puzzles.
Sure.
Even when you do get to an optional tomb, they all have one puzzle each, and it's always a good puzzle, but you solve it and you go, oh crap, I've solved the puzzle already. So now that they've established Lara's character again, and they've given her a reason to kill people and go in tombs and everything like that, I hope they let us do some actual tomb raiding on a big scale next game. So overall, I think Tomb Raider is definitely recommendable. I enjoyed it a lot, and I hope they continue to make more in the same vein, but hopefully a bit less gunplay, a bit more running around exploring and solving puzzles. So, yeah.
I look forward to playing it.
Yeah, I think the best thing with Tomb Raider is that I've been able to really enjoy it, because now that I'm working at home, you know, I get up in the morning, I have toast and a cup of tea for breakfast, and I sit down and I play a little bit of Tomb Raider before work, and you know, and then I have my break, and then I play just a little, you know, just 5 or 10 minutes, and then I get back to work, and it's really refreshing to just, you know, take a game in small bursts like that. And I think we should talk about having a sort of schedule and a sort of workflow and environment, because I'm really interested. my biggest thing is, you know, now that I'm working on games full time, I want to make sure that I don't get burnt out, because a lot of people seem to worry about that. And, you know, I think you have to have a good production pipeline, a good schedule, to make sure that you produce a lot each day but don't get burnt out. So have you, you've been sort of, you quit your job quite a while ago and you've been working your game a lot lately. So have you found any things that work for you?
Well, before answering your question, I have to preface with a couple of points. One is that I first off have to say that I admire your discipline. I mean, I've been talking to you for the past few days and you're very, very good about setting yourself up with a schedule and saying, okay, I've been working for 2 hours, now it's time to take a half hour break, and you stick to your break. And
I set alarms too.
Yeah, well, that helps. But just the fact that you, when the alarm goes off, you say, okay, now I'm going to go back to it, and not, oh, I'll play for 10 more minutes or whatever. I would probably do that, because I'm, you know, if I get into a game, it's hard for me to stop. Although, actually, I've mentioned on the past couple of podcasts that I've been watching Breaking Bad, and I actually finished watching Breaking Bad a couple of
times
ago. I greatly enjoyed it. I think it's probably, like everyone gushes about it, I think it's probably one of the best drama series on television ever, and I don't know if it'll ever be topped, but I wanted to watch it as well as, you know, not just because everybody was talking about it, but also for research purposes, because I was really interested in the character development, you know, because the main character essentially goes from like this mild-mannered, you know, pushover chemistry teacher to like a drug kingpin, and then it's, you know, it's a rise and fall story, basically. So that's why I was interested in that, because that's essentially what a Golden Wake is, too. So I was watching it, and I was kind of like doing breaks in my work as well. So I was like, okay, I've worked on my game. Now I'm going to watch Breaking Bad for an episode. But it wound up being 3 episodes. And then I'd go back, and then I'd be like, okay, well, I'll watch this. And then the very final episode, I got to the very last episode on Wednesday night, and I was supposed to go out with Miranda Govan. And I was supposed to meet her at 7 o'clock, and it was 6 o'clock, and it was the final episode, and I was like, oh, man, I want to know. So I watched the first 10 minutes of it, and I was like, oh, man, and then I watched up to the first commercial break, and I was like, okay, I need to leave now. So I somehow found the will to stop mid-episode and go out and then come back and finish watching it later. So it's all about finding the will to actually be disciplined and stop. But yeah, so I really admire your ability to do that, and I need to work on my own self-control and ability to do that. The second thing that I wanted to say was that you mentioned about how I quit my job and I've been working on my game. It's not, I did, but it's not, I didn't quit my job to work on my game. I mean, because I quit my job for real in August.
A long time ago, yeah.
Two months ago. But I've gotten a job since then, so it's I'm not, you know, because we were talking about this the other day. Like, you have a sure thing because you're the artist for Wad Jedi Games. I'm working on a game that I hope to get published, but as far as making a living off of it, it's not what I'm doing. It would be different if I was already a published, you know, if I had already had a game published and I already knew that this one was going to be published and, you know, I was just focusing on that. But right now I'm taking a gamble, just, you know, kind of putting off working a full-time job to work on my game and hoping that it'll be published and bring in some money and set me up for another game in the future, you know? So it's kind of, yeah, I mean, I stopped working in March, and then, you know, I had a little break, and then I started working again from May to August, and now I, you know, got a job a couple of weeks ago, which I've only done one job for. But but yeah, it's like, you know, I find myself in a strange place, because on one hand, I'm not looking to get a full-time job, but I need to have some sort of income for the time being, before hopefully switching over to making games as something I do for a living, you know?
Yeah. It's quite funny, because I was a bank worker until, I think, October or September of 2007. And I was really into game development at that point. So I thought, I'll quit my bank job and get a part-time job working with, like doing the sheep wrangling so I can sort of get better at making games and end up doing it as a full-time job. So that took me 6 years. I mean, yeah. I probably could have fast-tracked it if I wanted to, but yeah, that was 6 years of development. And yeah.
But at the same time, it all worked out for the best, because if you look at, sure. I mean, you've grown and improved in your skills in those 6 years. I mean,
yeah, and I hope to grow and improve just as much in the next 6 years.
Exactly. So, yeah. So. But what was
your...
I should have written it down.
I don't know. Let's just say, I think everybody's got different stuff that worked for them in terms of being organized, having sure. a schedule, you know, making sure that you get work done in your games. So I think the thing is for me is that now that my commitment is to work on games all the time, I want to make sure that I wake up in the morning and I do the exact amount of game work that I need, that I know I need to do, which is, I mean, like I said, it's a fair bit. You know, I think on Monday I drew three backgrounds. You know, some days I'll send off 100 and something frames of animation. Depends, you know, yesterday the list of stuff I sent off was huge.
Right.
So I want to make sure every day I'm consistently putting this stuff out, you know. And sometimes you're going to have a hard scene or a complex animation that'll take you longer, which is fine. That's part of game development. But I still want to, you know, I want to make sure I've got myself this means by which every single day I can create a good amount of stuff. So I think, have you found, like, certain stuff works best for you in terms of that?
Well, the way I'm working currently, it seems like I'm not as organized as you are as far as getting something done every day. I mean, right now, the way I've been working has been just... do something, start working on it, work on it until I get sick of working on it, take a break, and then go back to working on something else, you know?
You make sure you have breaks, but you have less regimented breaks, I guess.
Right. Like, for example, this past week, I want to say, well, I don't remember exactly, but as a hypothetical possibility that this is what happened, so let's say Monday I was thinking, okay, I need to do this background. And so I spent Monday doing the background. And it was a pretty complex background. So I came into it thinking, oh, this is going to be, you know, this is going to be tough. I have to, it's going to be a challenge. I need to really get my act together and do this. And I was able to get the background done in a day. And it came out looking, you know, I was pleased with how it ended up. But then it was complex not because of the detail in the background, but also because it's a densely populated background with lots of characters.
It is. I think there's 12 or 13 characters in
there. Something there's 18 characters in it.
18? Wow.
Yeah, there's 18 total sprites of not counting the player, I believe. I think counting the player, there's 20 different people in there. Not counting the player, yeah, it's about 18 or 19. Granted, it's not all characters you can interact with. Most of them are objects, actually. I don't think there's actually a character, but yeah. But sprites of people, basically.
Sure. So,
So I spent the following day doing all the sprites of the people, and, you know, that takes time because you have 19 different sprites, and they all, you know, look different. You want them to look different and not just obviously be a copy-paste job. And then on top of that, I wanted to give the room life so as not to have everybody standing around, so I had to animate a lot of those sprites. So it was about 3 straight days of just doing art, and by the time I finished, I was just burned out. And the same happened the week before, where I had 3 backgrounds that I did. They were pretty detailed backgrounds as well in a span of about 3 or 4 days. And when I finished doing those, I was pretty burnt out too. So I took a day off, and I was just like, okay, I've been painting all these days. I'm going to take a day off. I'm not going to do any game work today, and I'm just going to, you know, relax and play video games. And that was the day that I finished Rayman Legends. And then this past week, when I was doing the sprites and everything, I thought, okay, I've done all I want to do. I'm not going to do anything else. I'm going to take a day off, and I'm not going to do anything. And that day, I didn't do anything, but then that evening, I was like, I need to work on my game. And I went back to it, and I was up until 5 o'clock in the morning doing more sprites.
Yeah, you were.
I was. You were. And yeah. I had a couple of nights like that, actually. And then today, I worked on character portraits and animated them. And so yeah, I have a very segmented schedule. But I've been doing a lot more with them. That's the thing. Like, with this game, I've had periods where I've worked on it a lot, and I've had periods where I haven't been able to work on it much. When I was working, obviously, it was tougher for me to find the result to actually work on the game. And that's what happened to me with Ben Jordan 8. That's why it took 4 years for me to get that game done. Because I remember I officially started working on it at Mittens 2008. I started writing the design for it and everything at the table in the French Chateau, and that was in August of 2008. And I was still working at Starbucks at the time. So I got it done. Yeah, from August 2008 until March of 2009, I was still working at Starbucks. And I got a fair bit done on the game between that time and the following Mittens, because I remember at Mittens 2009, I showed off what I had done for Ben Jordan 8, and I already had a pretty decent number of backgrounds and stuff done. And then when I got my 9-to-5 job in 2009, from 2009 until 2012, which was when I finally ended up releasing the damn thing, it was a pretty slow burn because, you know, I'd go into work. It was weird because, you know, at Starbucks I had different shifts, and sometimes I'd work in the morning, usually I'd close, but I'd have the whole day off on closing shifts, and then I'd go into Starbucks and I'd come home and I'd be all wound up from work, and you know, I'd be up for a few hours, so I'd get stuff done then too, and I'd get stuff done during the day. But then for some reason, when I had a regular schedule on weekends again, which was weird, I didn't feel like working on my game when I had downtime, which was odd, but for some reason that's what happened.
I know, back in ancient history when I still had a day job, well, I still have a day job because I don't mind my game development during the day. I know I'd come home from work and you really, really got to push yourself to try and go from, you know, the worst thing for me is getting from your job to get in the car, and you sit in the car or the train or the bus or whatever to get home, and that sitting down relaxes you, and you relax when you get home. You're like, oh man, I'm relaxed now. I don't feel like doing anything. Yeah. So what I would often do is get home from work, have a shower, take a short nap, and when I say short nap, I mean like 15 minutes. Because, you know, you don't want to nap too long. And when you wake up, But yeah, that 15-minute nap just takes the sting out of it, so you can get up and get on with drawing for your game or coding or whatever you got to do. Otherwise, you just sit there staring at your computer screen in like this fuzzy-headed daze and don't get anything done, you might as well be asleep anyway.
Yeah, the thing that I thought was weird too was, you know, I had a 9-to-5, but it wasn't like an office job or sitting in front of a computer all day or anything. So, you know, I understand people who have jobs where they have to sit in front of a computer all day. They don't want to come home and then sit in front of a computer and work on their games. You know?
I
don't know why I didn't feel like it. I mean, there were times where I didn't open AGS for months.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yet here we are.
Yeah. Maybe I also had fatigue, like Ben Jordan fatigue as well. But
probably.
Who knows?
8 games, man. Well, 10 games.
Yeah.
But I'm finding now in my the work day that I've scheduled myself starting this week, I find in the very last hour of the day, so like from you know, after 7 hours of sitting there at the computer, because I'm a fairly active person, you know, and I've been doing an active person job for 6 years now.
Yeah.
So by that last hour, I'm pretty fatigued. So I've noticed this a couple of days, so I thought what I'll try and do is I'll try and leave, like, not easy tasks, but less complicated tasks, stuff I can do without thinking, stuff I don't have to stress about, for the very last hour of the day, so I can just sort of wind down a little bit, you know. I like to warm up in the morning with something, and I'm starting to find that it's pretty essential that I wind down at night. And you can still, you know, I'll find it's, whether it's just painting a couple of doors that need to be opened during scenes, and I'll paint those in, or lights flashing for backgrounds, or give a character an idle animation. You know, you can get a fair bit done in an hour, so, you know, I might do an idle animation and then a few objects that need doing, and then just stuff like that. Whereas if you sit there and you go, oh man, I got to do another two walk cycles in this last hour, another three walk cycles in this last hour, it's just a little overwhelming, you know. I find that last little bit of the day, I'm not interested in that. So I try and save myself the dessert for last. And the last 5 minutes of my day, this is a pretty important thing, the last 5-10 minutes of your day, I back up, and I back up twice. Not only do I upload everything to Dropbox, which doesn't count as a backup because that's me sending my work off, I also back up all the images to an SD card and back up them to a thumb drive, a USB stick as well. So,
wow.
Yeah. You know, what's the point of putting hours of work into something if you're not going to protect it with 5 minutes of
Sure. That's a habit to get.
And Dropbox... Dropbox does seem like a good solution, but I've heard of people accidentally overriding their Dropbox stuff and losing a month worth of work.
Oh, wow.
This happens. So, you know, so don't be afraid to back up. I back up all the time.
I'm just going to plug in my USB drive right now. And I'm going to back up my game.
Yeah, so I just think, you know, why would you wouldn't buy a car and not put insurance on it, and this is a lot cheaper than insurance. It's 5 minutes of your day to back stuff up, you know.
I'm glad you said insurance and not put oil in it, because I was going to say, well,
that's silly as well.
Anyway,
so that's my biggest thing. Yeah, but it's really weird because my biggest concern is that I've gone from an active person job to more of a mental job. So I really have to think about, like, what I eat and, you know, because I haven't got the best eating habits. I'll be the first to admit that I like sort of sweets and, you know, Coca-Cola.
You're worried about getting a big butt is what you're saying.
Well, you know, I'm a fit person, and I love walking, and I love water skiing and, you know, swimming and all that stuff, and I want to still be able to do that. So... yeah, I've cut down on the unhealthy foods quite a bit.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I...
what?
Well, I haven't... No Coca-Cola, no sweets.
Oh, okay.
Although that's not good.
You have sweets all the time.
Yeah, well, I haven't in the last week. There you go. Well, that's why I'm really... You know, and I make sure every day I go for a walk. Just half an hour. I went for a run last night.
Oh, okay.
On a 38 degree heat day.
Wow. Yeah, that's rough.
Which was I think I ran like 1 kilometer and I was like, okay, that's enough sweat for any man. Screw this, I'm walking home.
Yeah.
So, well,
doing stuff like that's good, because if you lead a fairly inactive lifestyle, if you just, you know, if you sit in front of the computer as your day job and then you want to come home and make games or whatever, I mean, not only is it good for your physical health, but also it's good to kind of get in your head and think about stuff. It's, you know, we've talked about inspiration and like how ideas come in the shower and stuff like that.
Sure.
But if you go out for a walk or you go out for a run or something, it's easy to get ideas for you. I've gotten plenty of game ideas and things like that when I've been out walking or running or doing other things, or, you know. So it's I think it's an important thing to do as well for your mental as well as physical well-being.
Yeah, I think it's good to be healthy in general, you know. And I love walking, as you know, because you spent 3 weeks with me and I took you walking everywhere. But yeah, walking's fantastic. It gives your brain a chance to sort of wander, because you don't have to think about walking. You just walk. Your legs do all the work.
Sure.
And, you know, you get half an hour of exercise. You feel good afterwards. I always find if I'm, like, I've been sitting on the computer for 8 hours, I love going for a walk. It's just fantastic.
Yeah.
You know. And it might be hot outside and it might be rainy outside or anything like that, you know.
Well, that's why you go out at night.
Yeah, you give her a raincoat, or you go out at night, or you put some shorts on, go for a walk, and go, and yeah. But yeah, so for me, my biggest thing is, I know you can easily slip into the trap. This is something that I've found myself doing, where you sort of find yourself getting up at midday and staying up really late and everything like that. But I thought, you know, I'm getting up at 6 o'clock. I was getting up at 5:30 before, so 6 o'clock's a sleep in for me, you know. And yeah, I'll start work by 7. And then I have 2 hours of work, have a half hour break, 2 hours of work, have an hour lunch break, 2 hours of work, have another little break, and then 2 hours of work, and then you're done. 5 o'clock, you're done for the day, and you've put 8 solid hours in, got a lot done. And yeah, I hope I can stick to this schedule, because it seems to be working all right, and I don't see why I wouldn't be able to. So yeah.
Yeah, good.
I think the real focus is on not only not burning yourself out, but also making sure you get a lot done. You want to have a maintainable, regular, sort of long-term, and you know, viable for the long-term routine. And I mean, I kind of had to do that before, because when you're working two jobs, you got to set yourself up with a routine that really works. But yeah, now, man, life's easy now. Life's good. I'm loving it. I really am. I had time to build myself a big Lego insect last night, so that was good. But yeah, I find, you know, it's really weird going from working all the time to having time off. It's really weird. Man, last night I just sat there and listened to music for a while. I never just sit there and listen to music. Well, I do now. I haven't done that for 6 years. That's fantastic. I love it.
Wow.
So yeah, you know. But yeah, I think it's, even if you're still working full time, or if you're working part time, or if you're working on a game full time, you know, I think it's pretty important to set yourself up with a schedule, with a routine, something that's viable long term, that lasts, that you know works for you. Because like, you're not an early morning person. I am. You like staying up till early morning. You know, the time that you go to bed some nights is just about the time that I get up in the morning.
Yeah, so, I find that I work best at night.
Yeah, Joel Stavhasta told me that the other day too. You know, he finds he works best at night. I find by 10:30 at night, sort of thing, I'm worn out from the day, and I'm quite happy to just relax. You know, I mean, I've done mega crunches where I've stayed up to 5 in the morning working on games, but you know, I don't have to now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do find that if I'm working on a new game, I can never sleep. If it's a brand new project, I lay awake all night thinking about how excited I am about it. Wow. That's always really hard for me, especially if it's full moon.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, so yeah, so that's not always good. And I don't sleep a great deal anyway, you know.
Yeah.
But I've been sleeping sort of 5 hours lately, so that's pretty good. Yeah. I consider 5 hours sleep to be a pretty good sleep.
Wow.
I know, yeah. It's probably not the recommended, but yeah.
No, you know, I think opinions differ on the recommended amount of sleep. I mean, I think it's just your body just sleeps as much as it needs to. Because, I mean, I've had nights where I go to bed at, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning, and I don't get up until, I don't wake up until, like, you know, 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock the next day.
Okay.
I've had days where I've gone to bed at, like, 3 or 4 in the morning, and I'm awake at 8 o'clock, you know? So, ready it's weird. Yeah, it's...
I still set an alarm clock.
Granted, I never get up at that time, but...
I still set an alarm clock for 6 because I like waking up at 6, and I always feel bad if I sleep in, always. I don't know, it's just part of who I am, I guess. But yeah, if I sleep in, I'll feel bad. So I set my alarm clock for 6.
I only feel bad if I sleep in like past 12, because then I know that I'm not going to go to sleep until late, and the cycle's just going to repeat itself. But I mean, I normally get up.
I once got stuck.
10:30.
I once got stuck into that sort of thing where I pushed the limit too far. I had a few weeks off work, and I was working on games full time, and I got to the point where I was going to bed at like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
And for a couple of days, I tried going to bed earlier and couldn't go to sleep, so I've reset the loop by just staying up later and later and later and later until I was... It feels weird, but I was staying up till like 4 in the afternoon, you know? Wow. And then I eventually got to the point where I was going to bed at, you know, a normal time. I just totally reset the loop. And yeah.
Well, man, remember when I got back from Australia, the jet lag got me. And I was like two weeks.
Really, dude.
For 2 weeks, I was going to bed at like 7 o'clock in the morning and not getting up until like 2 in the afternoon. That was pretty bad. But I mean, you know, it's just a day adjustment.
That's right.
Still up for the same amount of time. It's not like you're sleeping 12 hours a day or anything like that.
I know people that sort of get into it, but I get up in the morning earlier than you, I'm better than you and everything like that, but then they go to bed at 7:30 at night and you go, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
I get up at 6 o'clock as well and I don't go to bed till midnight. How are you better than me? How does that... you sleep twice as long as I do. So yeah, you know.
It's like that classic proverb from Animaniacs. Early to rise and early to bed makes a man wealthy but socially dead.
Okay. Well, I'm early to rise, but I'm not exactly early to bed. I'm a bit of everything.
Good.
I like to make the most of my days.
This is such a boring podcast. We're talking about professional things.
Good, man. We've had so many exciting podcasts. I think it's time to just relax. Man, I'm sitting here in my comfy chair. I've got my cat right here next to me. I don't think he's going to meow for the podcast. He's asleep. Because he's always asleep, as you know. But yeah. So I quit my job. You quit my job. We're also planning a game together.
Wait. You quit your job. I quit your job.
You quit your job.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say. I never wrestled sheep. Actually, let's pull back the curtain a little bit, because I know quite a lot of things about you, Ben Chandler. But there's one thing that I've never thought to ask you. You went from being a bank manager. What?
I explained to you how to wrestle a sheep. I was explained all the steps.
No, I know that's not what I want to know.
Yeah.
That's not the question that I and the listeners have on their minds. The question that I have in my mind is, you just said you went from being a bank manager full time to working part time as a sheep wrangler.
Sure.
Right? So how did you decide to get into that particular line of work? I mean, I'm assuming you didn't have much experience with sheep wrangling beforehand, did you?
No, I did have a fair bit. I grew up on a farm, remember?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, I went to high school, and when I went to school, in primary school, I wanted to write for a computer games magazine. That was my ambition. And I had they did this little thing where you write yourself a little note when you're in primary school for you to open when you're 21 that says your ambition on it. I didn't even need to open it, because I knew what it was. I knew exactly what it says. I knew the exact magazine I wanted to write for. And
How old were you? I was probably nine or eight. And how old were you? How old did you say that you were when they gave it to you?
21. 21.
They kept it for that long? Or you were supposed to keep it yourself?
No, you keep it yourself.
Oh, okay.
No, I've never opened mine, because I know exactly what it says. I wanted to write for video games magazine. And I'm actually friends with some of the people that write for it now, and I'm like, I'm glad I don't write for a video games magazine. But yeah, so then I went to high school and I was like, man, I wish I could make games. And I took art class because I like drawing. I thought, man, I'll do the graphics. And I failed art. So then I took computer class instead of art for the 12th grade. And my computer teacher knew nothing at all. So I basically taught him how to use computers. You know what? He was an old guy from America. I forget which state he comes from, but he had this American accent, and we always used to like marvel at his accent and how little he knew about computers, because he's an old guy. What do old guys know about computers?
He was probably hiding from something, and so he was like, "Where can I go? Let me go to Australia and teach computers."
Yeah, they have convicts there. The convicts won't know anything about computers. I'll teach them from the modern first world country like America.
Oh, dear.
So I studied art, but I never passed art. And then I studied IT, but I was like, man, teach me how to make games. And obviously they couldn't, because they would, you know. So then I was like, well, I need a job. I'm not going to, you know, I'm obviously not going to be able to make games. I better get myself a job. And the first job that I got interviewed for was a job shoveling wheat, and I didn't get the job. So the second job I got interviewed for was for a bank teller, because I was desperate and I wanted money so I could buy, you know, games. And Yeah, so I got the bank job, and then man, being a bank is easy, you know. I was like, oh, this is boring. So they're like, well, do you want to learn how to lend money? So I did that and became a bank manager at like 18 years old, which is pretty ridiculous. I think back on it now and go, how the hell? What the hell? You know? But it's all easy stuff, you know. None of it's hard stuff. You don't have to be good at math even. You just Yeah. You just have to have good people skills, and I love talking to people.
Yeah, you certainly do.
Yeah, so, and then I was like, you know when you get that feeling that you've stuck in a rut and you might not ever get out of it and you're going to grow old and die doing what you're doing?
Oh, sure.
I was like that when I was in the bank. I remember it was a Sunday and I was living in a nice small town, which you've been through, called Narrabeen, and I was out trimming my hedge. My hedge trimmers on a Sunday. And I was quite enjoying myself in the sunshine. It is. It's not a euphemism. I was actually trimming the hedge. And I was really enjoying myself. And, you know, I had a band going and I was working on little games, you know, after work at night, and everything was going good. And I was out there trimming the hedge and I'm really enjoying myself. And I step back and I'm like, oh my God, I've turned into the guy that comes out on a Sunday and trims his hedge and enjoys it. I'm like, this isn't who I want to be. You know, I only got this bank job so I could get some money out of school, you know?
Yeah.
And look where I've ended up. I don't want to be this. And my boss at the time could obviously see that there were problems, and she sat me down one day. I was like, Ben, you know, cool. I was the manager, but every manager has their manager. So she's the area manager for Western Australia, well, our part of Western Australia. She said, Ben, look, if it's really that bad, you can always just quit.
This is Bank West, right?
Yeah. It was Bank West. We always used to call it Wank Best because we're mature. You know? but yeah, she sat me down and was just like, Ben, if you want to quit, you know, if this isn't working out, you can always just resign. I'm like, okay, I quit. And that was that, you know, that was it. I was like, do I need to give you 2 weeks' notice or whatever? She's like, no, you can go. This is, you know, I was like, yes. So, yeah. And then I was like, oh, man, I need a job. I need a part-time job. So I got the job sheep wrangling because I knew how to do it because I grew up doing that sort of stuff on the farm as a kid. Okay. And, you know, there's always labor jobs. If you're willing to do physical labor, there's always a job for you.
Sure.
And it was a part-time job, which is what interests me the most because it was kind of seasonal. But as the years have been progressing, it's kind of gotten less and less seasonal and they rely on me more and more. When I started working, there were three of us doing my particular job. And when I just quit, there's only one of me. So I took on, I had to fill the role of two other guys as well. It was getting pretty stupid, you know. So I went, and lately, I've sort of been in the same sort of rut that I was 6 years ago in the bank, where I was like, man, I don't want to get stuck here forever, you know. I don't want to.
Believe me, I know. We've had plenty of conversations to that effect, and that's part of the reason that I'm especially happy for you that you got. If I can take a moment to get all.
oh man, it's time for a hug.
Maybe, well, hug it out, bro. I don't know if my arms are that long. I don't know that I can reach over to you, but no. But I'm happy that you're getting to do what you want, because I know what it's like to feel that rut feeling, and I knew that you were feeling that. I mean, from conversations and just from talking to you, and which is the exact same thing that I just said twice. But just call me Captain Redundant.
So conversations and a synonym.
Yes, exactly. But no, I definitely gathered that and knew that you were in a rut. So I'm glad that you've gotten out of it, and I wish you only the best. And I know that it's going to be only the best for you. And
of course, we're going to make a game together.
That's right. We are going to make a game together. But that's... People know about that for...
Man, I just spent like 15 minutes answering a single question. I feel so narcissistic.
I spent 15 minutes answering your question, and I didn't even answer your question. So
we'll label this as the boring podcast. Only listen to this if you're like a diehard fan.
Yeah, only listen like to this rest. If you really want to know about our boring lives.
Yeah, but no, so I'm really excited. It really feels like I've turned over a new leaf. Like the last week has been sensational. Like I'm not even exaggerating the slightest. I've really, really loved, because the thing is, even though I've been 6 years doing like that other job, I've been doing this other one part time for about 3 of those years, mm-hmm. like for Dave and for, you know, for other people. And I've really, really enjoyed this job more than anything else I've ever done. I love it. I love making games, and all of a sudden I'm like, that's what I do. So
yep.
Yeah, I hope it lasts. I hope it's all good. Yeah, I really, that's why I'm really concerned about getting a schedule, making sure I'm productive, making sure I'm efficient, because I want this to last. I want this to be like, this is what I want to do. You know, when you're a kid and people say, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah.
I always said that I wanted to write about computer games because I didn't think I was smart or skilled enough to make them. And then I realized you don't have to be that smart or skilled to make games. So I started making games. The real turning point for me for making games was playing Apprentice 2, because I was really impressed at how well it made it was. But not only that, but also playing Rob Blank 1, Defender of the Universe.
Yeah.
Because I remember looking at it going, man, I could draw better than this. Why aren't I making games? And just that little thing, I was like, oh, man, it was the whole looking at it and going, man, some guy just drew this in his bedroom in paint.
Yeah,
I can draw graphics like this. I've got paint. And yeah, I made my first game all in paint, all my animations and everything.
Wow,
so, yeah.
It's impressive.
Yeah, so Rob Blank 1 was really inspirational to me because it really had that indie feel to it where you could go, man, I could do this.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's very important to have a game like that sort of pushes you in there.
Yeah, that's about how I felt as well when I played Rob Blank in the early games, like Plurgberg. And Plurgberg was a great game. It didn't look the best, but it was definitely a very complex and very well put together game, especially considering it was one of the few AGS games that was actually completed at the time, back in like 2001 or 2002. Yeah. But yeah, I always said I wanted to be a cartoonist when I was a kid.
When I was 13. Well, you're drawing pictures. Do you still want to be a cartoonist?
Hell no. I want to make games.
Really?
Yeah.
Good. Let's make a game.
We are.
Well, you are.
We have.
Yeah. Good.
Good. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's good. Yeah. It definitely, I mean, if it's something, I know that a lot of listeners to our podcast, I guess they listen to our podcast because, why do they listen to our podcast? Because they want to know about how to...
Some of them just like having the background noise while they make games, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So as long as you're making games, if you're a listener to our podcast and you listen because you like making games, then yeah, it's take our advice to heart and find yourself a schedule if you're serious about getting into it. I mean, I'm not the authority on this because I'm still doing it as a hobby, technically. But... See,
and I've only just started.
Yeah,
so I'm not an authority either.
Well, I remember when I was sort of in between, when I was still in the transitional phase. I was still kind of there was that period between that I had quit my job and I was before I moved up here to New York. I said, okay, I'm gonna pretend that I have a job making games, and I'm gonna get up and I'm gonna do a 9-to-5 and I'm gonna do game work, essentially what you're doing right now. But that never happened, obviously, because I'm just a bum, and I didn't... I mean, I would game work, but it was not from 9 to 5. And I didn't keep a strict 8-hour schedule and have breaks and stuff. I just did like I'm doing now and just did as much as I could handle. And then, you know, would take breaks when I got too overwhelmed.
Sure. Probably the best thing for me was that Friday I was... doing one job, and then Monday I was doing a different job, and I pretty much kept the layout exactly the same. So it's, you know, I haven't changed too much. I haven't made a radical change. I haven't tried to go on from just like, you know, one extreme to the other. I'm trying to keep it in a way that I know works and that I can get 8 hours done.
Sure.
I'm like, well, I've just been doing, you know, I know how to do an 8-hour day of work or more. How did I used to do it? So right. how can I do it now? Yeah, 8-hour days, not man. I've been, when Dave rang me up on Sunday, I was like, oh my God, I've been doing like 90-hour weeks. Yes. Yes. I quit.
Yeah. Yeah. And but, no overtime.
Well, you know, every job, I think every job, if you're really passionate about it, you don't mind putting overtime in if the time comes for overtime.
Yeah, but I mean, if you get paid for time is one quest is the deciding factor.
Yeah, well, yeah, man. Every job's got perks and non perks, but yeah. You know, that's life.
Sure.
So, yeah, but yeah, the moral of this whole podcast, which I'll sum up now in 2 minutes, is if you fail to plan, you plan to fail, or whatever that saying is. You know, make sure you've got a plan, and you know, go in organized and with stuff to do. I write lists. Everyone on the podcast knows this, but you want to say, "Man, my corkboard is more listy than ever." I've got, you know, all sorts of lists, because I just find if I've got a list there and I can see what I need to do next, do it, then strike it out, then I keep getting stuff done, and I don't sit around going, oh, I'll think about what I got to do next, because I don't have to think, because it's all written down for me. With a list, you've only thought about it once. The rest of the time, you're doing it. So, yeah.
Yeah, because as the great Christopher Walken said...
back up your games.
Yes, back up your games. But as the great Christopher Walken said in the movie, Things to Do in Denver When You're Dead... the character he played was called the man with the plan, and he said, "A man without a plan is not a man," or something like that. I don't remember. I never actually saw that movie.
I thought you were just going to make up your own Christopher Walken quote.
I wish I could.
In there with the voice.
I wish I had.
I think you could
do that sort of thing.
We should invite Christopher Walken as a special guest to our podcast.
I know he listens. Yeah, sure, because it'll be so easy to get him. Anything else you want to talk about?
Not really.
No?
We've talked for long enough, I think. No. Is there anything else you want to talk about? Have you got anything you wish to mention?
I'm trying to think.
You're trying to think, or you're thinking?
I'm trying to think. It's difficult for me to think sometimes. I'm actually thinking about possibly setting my alarm clock for Monday and doing the 9-to-5 on my game on Monday just to try and get into that routine again. But whether or not that'll actually happen remains to be seen. This weekend is daylight savings. We go back to standard time,
so
we get extra hours. So it's going to get dark at 5:00 now, and it's going to be light in the morning.
Yeah.
So probably behoove me to be up earlier.
And like I said, everyone's got their thing that works for them. So if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, good luck.
Do you want to tease the audience about the game we're going to make together now that you know?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
You remember that game we made for Oro, the Reaper Rebirth thing?
I do. We got a fan.
We're going to do a full length.
We got a
good.
Fan.
We did. We got a fan out. Yeah, that was cool. We're going to do a full length follow up for that.
Yeah. Well, I mean. Yeah, well, we've been planning on doing that since for a while, but we made the Rebirth and the Reaper to sort of tease the fact that we were working together on a game and to establish...
Tease the universe.
Yeah, tease the universe of the game that we're doing. But yeah, we're doing a game. And yeah, it'll be interesting. But now that it's more of a concrete thing, it's definitely something we have to start thinking about.
I've started thinking about it already.
Good. I'm glad you have, because I haven't.
Well,
that's not true. There's a notebook somewhere in your room with all our scribblings in it from...
No, the notebook... I've tidied all my crap up. I've got my notebook in a very secure spot now.
Oh, good. Excellent.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
Good.
I'm very glad.
Do you know what's weird?
What's weird?
It's November.
How is that weird?
Well, man, we're a long way through the year. It's been a big year.
Yeah, it has been a big year. I remember at the end of 2012, or close to the end of 2012, I was remarking on how it was going to be a big year, and it has been a big year.
Yeah, and I'm like, just a few weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, I was like, oh, man, I'm going to get stuck in this rut of doing this job forever, and, you know.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I'm still 25 years old, and I've reached my goal.
Yep.
One of my goals, because obviously I've got more goals. I've got lots of goals.
Sure. Yeah.
That's one thing that really got me is as soon as I sort of sat down, like, man, I'm making games full time now, I'm like, I need another goal. What can I do next? And I think my next goal will be the game that we're going to be making together. I think that's my next big goal.
Good.
Because, you know, because not that doing art for people's games is a bad thing. I love doing it, you know, but it's always different. There's a lot more challenge when you're making the game, like when you're, you know, when you've got a bigger hand in it than just doing a bit of graphics. So, yeah, that's a big goal of mine. I have to say, I've got a couple of days of finishing up with my job just to, like, you know, help them out. Because, you know, you can't just quit and go, that's it. Finish forever. Yeah. So I got a couple more days in about a week to do. And it was really weird going to work on Tuesday for half a day and just standing there and just going, it was a bit more than half a day, but, you know, and just standing there around doing my job. And I was like, man, I don't feel like I belong here. For the first time, I felt like how I felt the very first time, like after leaving the bank and going and doing that job. That's exactly how I felt on Tuesday. It was weird. I was like, man, I don't belong here. You know, I think I've moved on.
Good.
Yeah.
But, you know, we both said that 2013 was going to be a big year.
And sure has been.
It's been a pretty big year. But, you know, from where I'm sitting right now, I think 2014 is going to be a pretty good year as well.
It's going to be a pretty good year. We've got a lot of stuff to do.
I got a good feeling about it. Hmm. I feel like 2013 laid down some groundwork, and 2014 is going to be, it's going to be a good one. It's going to see some payoffs, I think.
I think 2014 was building the foundation. 2014 is going to be like the,
where
it all comes.
Story.
Yeah, it comes to light.
Sure. Good. What an interesting use of words.
Hmm.
Ooh, what does it mean?
Oh man, don't make mysterious things about things the poor listeners don't know about. Leave them alone.
Why? Is it? It's hard, I know, but.
Oh, really? I think we need to end this podcast right now before we make any more inside jokes. And that wasn't even a euphemism. Nobody else but me will get that. I'm sure of it.
Uh-huh. Okay, good.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.